the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
LFG, let's do this on a Friday, Football Friday. However, I think both of us would like to start out the show today by sending out a special thank you. A special thank you, not to Steph Curry, even though, Chef, what's up? Good on you yesterday. But a special shout out and a special thank you to everybody who called the radio station as a whole yesterday on what was an incredibly emotional day. And let's not like bury this and tuck it away as if it doesn't exist. You're A's fans and you largely have felt disenfranchised by the entire sports process in the Bay Area, including sports media. And we can sit here, I'm not going to apologize for that. There are reasons for that that are totally out of our control. But the fact that you came to us and you wanted to share your story yesterday, and who knows, maybe it sounded like some of you were coming for the first time in a long time. And if that's the case, I just want to say thank you, welcome you, and appreciate your contributions to all of our shows yesterday.
Yeah, and it was a contribution, I think, to all of the Bay Area. And you and I have a thing where we leave together a lot of times, yeah, and we park in the same place, but we have a deal where we don't walk together, we don't talk together, we talk for 4 hours, and then we get to the parking garage, usually about the same time, and then it's usually a tap, tap, my brother, I'll see you tomorrow. But yesterday you saw me, and you caught me, and I was on the phone with one of three A's fans who actually called me off the air to share their experiences. So yesterday was bigger than just all the calls we took at 888-957-9570. Yesterday was about the entire sports Bay Area. A's fans, non-A's fans, casuals, diehards, criers, reflectors, yeah, angry, the whole thing. Yesterday was a special show.
Yeah, absolutely. And it does, I think, if you're a sports fan, and maybe even if not, like this, it hits everybody. Whether you're a diehard A's fan, whether you're a Giants fan, whether you're not a fan, whatever, whether you've given up on baseball, to have a sports franchise leave town is not just a sports story. That's a news story. That's a political story. That's a lifestyle story. That's all kinds of things. So anyway, thank you very much for your contributions, for sharing all of it. And we do hope for those of you who are always here, thank you. For those of you who are new to here, thank you. You're welcome to stay a while. We hope that you do. It is a Football Friday, and we've got a few things to get to for sure as we head into a weekend that the 49ers absolutely have to have. I'm not doing the must-win thing.
Oh,
I know it gets you going. But this
I'm
would
already
just,
angry today, so
yeah,
thank
no,
you.
Yeah, no, this would just, like, maybe I can dumb it down a little bit. This would be really, really stupid and damaging to lose. Like, it just...
Stupid and
come
damaging.
Come on. Like, I mean, what are we doing?
No,
really?
Totally.
Like, I don't care how injured you are. You're not losing at home to the Patriots. And if you do, my God, what are we doing? That wouldn't be a Super Bowl hangover. That would be like a, I don't know, like that would be like a Super Bowl hospitalization. Like you can't come out and go 1-3 and start losing home games to one of the worst rebuilding teams in the NFL. So you've got to do it. And I don't have any worries about the offense, specifically because they are getting back healthy. George Kittle is going to play. Debo, surprisingly, is a maybe, and that's great. Even if he doesn't play, that means he's healing up quicker than they thought. And at minimum, he's going to be good to go for Arizona next week, unless something happens in this right. weekend's game. But anyway, so that's all good. Let's talk about this defense, though. Let's really get into this. And I know a lot of people want to do the Steve Wilks got this. Is Nick Sorensen getting that? I have sort of a different entry point to all of this. I bet a lot of you don't even know what Nick Sorensen looks like. And you don't even know what Nick Sorensen sounds like. We'd like to change that right now. I want you to listen to Nick Sorensen talk. He spoke yesterday. Let's listen to him talk about his defense. And then I think it will be abundantly clear that there's a conversation that has to be had. First of all, this is his answer to, quote-unquote, what's wrong with the defense.
I think it's a culmination. It hasn't really ever been one thing or one coverage. It's kind of been a culmination of things, and it just hasn't been good enough overall. You know, it's not one person. Like I said, it's just be a little better here, a little better there. As always, I always look at myself first, and I should. I mean, it's my defense, and I'm the coordinator, but I take responsibility of that. And I think we just all feel that way. That's a cool thing. All us coaches, we got to coach better, and players have that feel that challenge as well for themselves.
All right, who's feeling inspired?
Well, I mean, not me. I'm glad that he answered the questions, and I'm glad that he put the bullseye on himself.
Did he?
I didn't know what the question was. Ooh, but
what's wrong with the defense? Listen again.
I think it's a culmination. It hasn't really ever been one thing or one coverage. It's kind of been a culmination of things, and it just hasn't been good enough overall. You know, it's not one person. Like I said, it's just be a little better here, a little better there. As always, I always look at myself first, and I should. I mean, it's my defense, and I'm the coordinator, but I take responsibility of that. And I think we just all feel that way. That's a cool thing. All us coaches, we got to coach better, and players have that feel that challenge as well for themselves.
I mean, you could get that at halftime on your way through the tunnel when the poor sideline reporter, hey, coach, what's going on? Well, we got to do better on defense. We could do better on offense.
And special
teams.
We're
going to have to do better on special teams. We have to play better. We're going to have to coach better. We're going to have to execute. Thank you for the interview. Whoop, off you go to the locker room.
What's he supposed to say, though? I think that his answer is mostly correct because it's been the front, it's been the coverage, it's been the linebackers, it's been everything, and ultimately that is his responsibility, and it's only been three games. So if we want a small sample size Brock Purdy, as we all want to do, we should also give him that same grace in terms of this being only three games.
What do you mean we want a small sample size Brock Purdy?
Well, everyone has, and everyone continues to do so, and I heard a guy this morning on the morning show talking about, well, you know, New England fans see him as a product of the system and this and that,
oh,
and
good
it's
for
like
them. Yeah, they
right,
don't know.
But I mean, people want to do that in the ways they want to do that to further their point. This guy's been the coordinator for three games. So I do think what he said is accurate. Now, can he fix it? That to me is the big question.
And again, when you say what's he supposed to say, there's nothing he's supposed to say. I'm not looking for him to start throwing individuals under the bus
right,
or anything like that. I'm just talking about what I feel is traditionally an energy spot. When Robert Saleh and D'Amico Ryans ran up and down that sideline, I felt something. I'm not even on the defense, but you could see an inspirational personality. It's why, not only because they ran a good defense, but when they got into an interview with other franchises, those franchises went, you know what, that's our leader. We'd like him. We hire you. You can carry a room. When Nick Sorensen talks, this is just, again, this is an initial concern, because you're right, it's three games. But I have an initial concern when I listen to him talk. Oh, you know, it's a lot of things. Got to do a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and it's my defense, so that means it's on me, and we've got to coach better, and we've got to put, what are you saying? And are you getting anyone's attention? Because right now, all I can do is look at the product. And no, it appears you have no one's attention. I don't know if Javon Hargrave was already hurt when he did absolutely nothing in the fourth quarter to even attempt to go tackle somebody, but is it that? Is it that they've read their press clippings, overconfidence? I have no idea what's going on, but a completely, completely torn apart offensive line for the Rams stopped this defense, and that is absurd. And so, I don't know, when I listen to him talking, we've got more that you can listen
sure,
to.
But does he have to be a rah-rah, emotional, like, extrovert of a leader?
No, but he needs
because
to
Vic
get...
Because Vic Fangio, I would encourage you to listen to Vic Fangio,
sure,
who's one of the best to ever do it, and he's not one of these, like, pound you on the shoulder pads and push you in the chest kind of guys.
No, you don't need to do that. There are a lot right, of examples. I don't know that Steve Spagnuolo is that. In Kansas City, doing a fantastic job and has a great career. What I know is this is how you sound. And so far, I know this is what your defense looks like. And both of them look and sound totally vanilla and lacking inspiration.
I'll give you that, but I don't think that it's fair to listen to him and apply that to how they're playing. I don't think that they're playing the way they're playing because of the way he sounds. I think they're playing the way that they're playing in part because of the way that they are approaching it defensively. So for me, it has nothing to do with how he sounds. It has to do with maybe the people who are on the field and exactly how they are going about playing defense.
We've got more for you to hear.
I can't wait.
From Nick Sorensen's press conference yesterday. We've got more for you to hear from Kyle Shanahan's press conference today. And as always, we are wide open to you at 888-957-9570. What is your concern level with Nick Sorensen and the 49er defense? The end of summer sales event is on at Frontier Ford on Stevens Creek in Santa Clara. Now's the time to get a great deal on a new Ford car, truck, or SUV. So stop by or visit FrontierFord.com for incredible savings and drive away in your dream Ford at Frontier Ford or FrontierFord.com. It's Willard and Dibs.
Now. Back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Well, there's all kinds of interesting stuff that just happened.
That was quite a commercial break, Mark.
That was impressive.
Big time.
Which one do you want to do first? Do you want to start with C-Mac?
Let's start with
Brandon.
C-Mac is a lot cleaner. And Brandon, I will have to invoke my two-year-old. Because I was having two-year-old vibes from this morning. But start with C-Mac.
Okay.
And then we'll get to Mom, I Can Do It.
For a lot of you, you may not be on social media. You certainly, I hope you're not just sitting there staring at Twitter right now at 2:30 on a Friday. If you are, I don't know, good for you. Or, I don't know, maybe you're looking for work. I don't know. I don't know your situation. But we want to bring everybody into the fold. Yesterday was a day where Christian McCaffrey rumors seemed to run wild. Home base, the epicenter of the rumor mill, was not the fault of the epicenter. It was Eric Branch who wrote an article in the Chronicle based on a conversation with a doctor in Southern California who seems to have expertise on Achilles and calf and that area of the body. That doctor suggested hypotheticals based on what he knows with Christian McCaffrey and going to Germany. He shared a few thoughts. They felt a little ominous. Next thing you know, Twitter has Christian McCaffrey either out for at least 2 months, possibly the whole year, possibly we're never going to see him ever again. That's the way it sort of sounded on Twitter.
I love Twitter docs.
Yeah. Today, it's an actual report from the 49ers. Christian has already returned from Germany, and Kyle Shanahan would like to, quote, start hitting his rehab much harder starting on Monday.
Okay.
So there you go. Do with that whatever you will, but that's an actual report.
If he's hitting his rehab harder than you would have thought, that doesn't feel like 2 months, and that also doesn't feel like the rest of the year. That feels like the initial report, and we had an actual doctor on our show, and we do every Tuesday, Dr. Nirav Pandya, who said, normally when you have this procedure, and he doesn't know what he had, but assuming what he was doing in Germany, 4 to 6 weeks, which, if you're going to hit it aggressively, that might actually be 4 weeks, and not six, and not 2 months, and not the whole year. So none of us really know, honestly, and we all want to, you know, speculate and, you know, this is not to throw Eric Branch under the bus
did nothing wrong, but they took a hypothetical and made it fact.
Right. Well, the only fact is when he comes back, then we'll know how long he's out.
Well,
and it's the same thing with Dre Greenlaw. We all look at Dre Greenlaw, and he got hurt in February, and it should be 9 to 12 months, but it could be 8 months. It could be never again. Sure. We won't know until he actually plays again.
The difference with Dre and Christian is it feels like there's a little less mystery with what Dre's going through. We know exactly what the injury is, and now you're just in a how long does it take until you're fully back moment. Christians, from everyone I've talked to, whatever we've listened to on our show, very much sounds to me like there's mystery. And in fact, I think it was Doc Pandya, maybe someone else, who said this injury is one of these that just one day you'll wake up and it's better. And so you don't know when that's going to happen. So if you're going to Germany, that means you're seeking some sort of an alternative type of an approach. It feels like they're still on the search. And what Kyle said today, I would translate as a layperson to mean, okay, now we're going to take what you just did. Maybe we're feeling a little optimistic about what you just did. Like maybe you're feeling good about it. Let's go test it. That's all I take from it.
Right.
That's it. And I don't know how it's going to react, and they may not either.
And the thing about Christian McCaffrey is it's not really an injury like we are normally talking about injuries. Like if you have a broken ulna, okay, you know what that's going to take. I mean, the bone's got to get better, and then you get rehab, and then you come back. And, you know, it just depends on what the injury is. Like a torn ACL, there's enough case history to know what that's going to be. In baseball, Tommy John. Okay, Tommy John's going to be 12 months minimum. It might be 15. It might be 18, depending on you, your rehab, your body, and all the rest of it. But Christian McCaffrey's thing, whatever it is it an Achilles? Is it a partial tear? No. Is it tendonitis? Okay. How bad is the tendonitis? Nobody knows unless you're the doctor looking at it or the athlete going through it.
You're such a radio doc. You could have picked any bone in the body and you went with ulna.
I like the ulna.
I mean, who does that?
And I like the radius.
Like, I mean, you could have just said leg. Like, do you have a broken leg? And you went with ulna.
Well, and you know that the tib fib is always different. Like if you get the tib fib, that means broken ankle, and that means it's going to be probably 4 months. But every injury is different. But you do have a case history, is my point, based on the injury. And for example, the Javon Hargrave torn triceps. And you're getting surgery on your torn triceps. It doesn't matter how torn it is if you have surgery. That's going to be 4 to 6 months, dog. So you're going to be gone. And we know that based on medical history and the rest of it. But these ailments, I will call them, such as tendonitis, you never know. And the other one is like, you know, Kawhi Leonard and neuropathy, where didn't he have neuropathy in his leg? And, you know, he missed 73 games with San Antonio. And you never know how bad it's going to be based on each individual.
All right. Here's the other thing.
I love this one.
And I want everybody to brace themselves. So wherever you are right now, I'll just take a deep breath. If, you know, if it's break time at work, grab a snack. Okay? Sit back in your chair. Okay?
I'm going to eat it.
Take a deep breath. This next one's about Brandon Ayuk. Nothing terrible is wrong. Nothing huge. But I described it when it was just brought to our attention, Dibs, as not interesting. That's the best way I can say it. Because there are some things about this interaction, in fact, maybe most things, that we don't know. But there is video from practice today, what appears to be a somewhat lengthy exchange between Kyle Shanahan and Brandon Ayuk. Based on the body movements and all of that in the discussion, it appears, because at one point Kyle is even pointing to the lower half of Brandon's body, it appears he is telling Brandon, dude, you can't wear red shorts out here with your red jersey. Everybody else is wearing black shorts. That's what we dress in for 49er practice. Why are you wearing red shorts? Again, I'm not even paraphrasing. I'm making it up based on what it appears is happening. Following the exchange, which is at least mildly animated, Kyle walks away looking a bit frustrated. And stop me if you read any of this differently than what I'm saying, Dibs. Brandon then follows Kyle's departure by kicking off both shoes, taking off both gloves, tossing them on the ground, pulling the red shorts off, kicking them aside with his leg, pulling the black shorts up, and then pulling his shoes back on, and back to practice he goes. We got anything here?
I mean, do we have anything about the incident or your description? Because your description, as you're saying it, I'm watching it in totality, and the gloves go off, the shoes get unlaced, the shorts come off, and then it looks like the black shorts were, maybe somebody threw him a pair of black shorts.
I think they were under the red shorts.
No, because the red shorts come off and he has black compression shorts under, and then he puts on black shorts.
I think the black shorts might have come off with the red shorts. Like, you put those thumbs in there and got two pairs of shorts at the same time. I think. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like. I didn't see anybody tossing black shorts. But anyway, obviously this is less about the shorts and more about the interaction, I think.
Right, and the interaction is Kyle Shanahan spending 60 seconds out of practice to go over there and tell him, like, how we do things. And Brandon knows. I mean, he's been on the team now for 4 years. So this to me is more about a power play. And I was, joking earlier about my 2-year-old daughter, and that's what we get into, where, you give her breakfast and she wants to throw it because, not that she's not hungry, but it's a power play. And so if you're Kyle Shanahan, much like me as a parent of a 2-year-old, you have to decide what battle you want to fight. And in this case, when you have one player wearing red shorts, and I'm looking as this is going on, Mark, and you see everyone else in the background in black shorts, this is not going to be allowed. And so Kyle Shanahan has to take time out of his practice to go over there and do a wardrobe check for Brandon Ayuk. This to me is it's a deeper issue. It's a bigger issue than just shorts.
Okay. Tell me about that.
Well,
what do we have?
Why would Brandon Ayuk come out in red shorts?
I don't know.
Either
he wanted to wear red shorts.
Right. But if everyone else is in black shorts and he knows that there is a certain protocol as far as practice goes, you would know going in that you have to wear black shorts. And I don't have practice footage of every other practice that he's ever partaken in, but I would bet that he was in the proper attire.
I've never seen a 49er wear red shorts.
I've never seen footage of a coach going over to a player and saying, you need to wear what everyone else is wearing.
How many practices have we been to the last few years?
Like 10.
A handful.
Yep.
You ever seen somebody wearing red shorts at 49ers practice?
No, and you've never seen anyone wearing any other color other than if you are, a medical guy and you're in a blue, or if you're the quarterback and you're in a black jersey, or, whatever the designations are for quarterbacks and injured players. And yet he comes out today in red shorts. I can't imagine he didn't know what the protocol was. This feels to me like a I'm going to do what I want to do moment.
Oh, gosh. I mean, can the Brandon Ayuk thing get any more annoying? Honestly, can it get any stupider than this? Now we're talking about shorts. And I think you can... There's three things going on here. One, we're watching video. I can't hear what they're saying. I don't know exactly what went on. I'm beyond shocked that Kyle Shanahan, this video gets taken. It's circulating to hundreds of thousands of impressions all over social media. Kyle Shanahan talks after practice and no one asked. What in the sweet hell? No one asked? The video gets taken. The captions get written, and no one asked him what was going on there? That's wild to me. Okay, so that's number one. But number two is, I think fair-minded, you'll get people on both sides of this, where people are like, why do you care what color shorts you wear? And then there will be people that are like, dude, we wear black shorts. Don't wear red shorts. Why are you doing that? And that discussion may be what comes up next. God, I kind of hope not, because again, this is the kind of thing that we have spent way too much time on for the last 2 months, which is exactly and precisely not what the 49ers want the world talking about and thinking about. We've got holdouts, we've got hold-ins, we've got trade demands that weren't actually demands, we've got IVs at halftime because you're out of shape, and now we're wearing the wrong colored shorts, and now we're not getting enough targets because somebody who's not getting paid is getting targets. My God, like, for real, what on earth is going on here?
Yeah, and it's funny as you say that, because I'm looking at the video and I'm kind of going Zapruder, And, you know, shout out to Zapruder, who filmed the Zeppelin, Oh, the Humanity. He goes over, Kyle Shanahan goes over to Brandon in an almost casual way, and you could see him saying something to the effect of, yo, BA, we don't wear red shorts here. And Kyle immediately walks away, and he gets about 8 steps away, and clearly Brandon says something, because Kyle stops in his tracks and circles back, and that's when he goes back and gives Brandon a more thorough explanation about what is done or not done. And Brandon's standing there, and Kyle is, you know, palms up, a little bit of Iguodala, yep. And he's going on and on about, you know, what he's wearing and what we do and, you know, why he even has to go over there and explain this. And at the end of the second visit, which is about 45 seconds in total, and it's interesting, Mark, as Kyle goes over there the second time, the other receivers who are near there, they flee. And I think that Conley was there, and I think that there was another receiver who was near Brandon at the time. And when Kyle goes back for the second visit, so to speak, all of a sudden now it's just Kyle,
yep.
And it's Brandon, which tells me that Kyle's being a little bit more direct and a little bit more forceful.
It's Conley and Cowing. Cowing comes over, and you're right. Kyle starts to leave, and Brandon says something, and he turns around and comes right back.
And then it's pew! Like, I mean, seriously, like, you know, the fleeing of a scene of the crime, and then now it's just Kyle and BA. And Kyle's there for another 60 seconds, and then he walks away. And I'm sure the parting message was, if I may, on radio, I would recommend that you either put on black shorts or you can find your way to another practice facility, because we're not doing red shorts, young man.
Let's go live to director of sports at 95.7 The Game, Lucas Alexander, with this red shorts update.
Yeah, thank you very much for that. I spoke with our 49ers reporter on the scene, Cam Inman, who will join us at 3:15,
great.
Just less than half an hour, and I asked him,
yes.
If anybody asked IU, because the locker room is open now after Shanahan spoke to the media. I don't know if anyone's asked IU yet, but someone did ask Kyle in the press conference, and it was Grant. Grant Cohn took the video. Grant asked him the question. This was his answer. Kyle asked by Grant, simply had wrong shorts on, and Kyle said he wishes he could have different ones too. So classic Kyle, he laughed it off.
Kyle said Brandon had the wrong shorts on, and then Kyle said he wished he could have different ones too?
I think so. That's how I take it. We'll get the full details from Cam Inman at 3:15. But you could tell from the way Ayuk kicked out after it, it's possible he was joking around.
Oh, yeah. Like, this is being, like, a lot of people are writing a caption of this that Brandon threw a tantrum.
Right.
I don't know that he threw a tantrum. That's a strong word for me. I don't think that Brandon threw a tantrum at practice. I could just as easily believe that he was being playful as he changed shorts. The side of it that's a little bit more eyebrow-raising to me is the length of the conversation. If that's what happened, feels like a pretty quick conversation. Dude. We're wearing black shorts today. Change. Bye.
Maybe it started with the checkup on the family.
And then
they got to the shorts.
With palms up and animation sensation kind of getting, you know what I mean? And I'm walking away, and now I'm coming back to talk to you a little bit more. Again, look, we're speculating. I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth. I wasn't there, and I look forward to talking to Cam. But it took a little bit longer than, hey, change your shorts.
Right, and as I'm looking at the video, he has the shorts not on, but they're clearly like tucked into his shorts on the inside of his waistline.
Yes.
Because he's not wearing shorts. He doesn't drop down his reds to show black. He actually pulls them out of his waistband. So he clearly had the shorts on him, not wearing them like shorts, but he had them on him. And I'm looking at a still right now where, before he pulls his shorts down, the black shorts are pulled out as if you would have it like tucked in to your waistband.
Like almost like pullaways, like NBA pants, but obviously, so they were just tucked in almost like a towel.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So, right. So it's almost as if he was going to test Kyle to see if he caught it.
Well, I don't want to put thoughts in anyone's head.
I don't either,
but this
is crazy.
This is just like, again, this would also be already gone if it wasn't Brandon. If it wasn't Brandon, and we weren't thinking all the things we're thinking, and we weren't experiencing all the things everyone's experiencing, and you hadn't gone through a 6-month journey of back, forth, this, that, the other, the Steelers, the Patriots, the Browns, the Niners, the agent, the TikTok, the Jaden Daniels, the sorry, I was a pain in the rear, the dropped balls, all of these things lead to this moment, and they make this a much bigger, like, I feel ridiculous right now. Is this what it felt like when I was in Hawaii and you guys spent 2 days talking about how Brandon and Kyle shook hands on the field?
Kind of.
Like, this is the next thing. And so, again, if you're just joining us, Willard and Dibs, and we are looking at video that is all over Twitter. All you got to do is search Brandon Ayuk, and you will see what is about a 90-second interaction between Kyle Shanahan and Brandon Ayuk, with Ayuk wearing the wrong colored shorts at practice. The conversation lags, goes on, seems to get a little animated, and ends with Kyle sort of walking off while Brandon is then forced to change his shorts right there in the middle of the practice field.
And his shoes.
And his shoes. Well, he takes his shoes off so he could get the shorts back on, and then kicks the red shorts aside. Was it in anger? Was it in playfulness? I don't know, but that's what happened today at practice. Yeehaw.
Right, and that's our takeaway from practice, which, I mean, what are we doing anymore? And I do want to shout out a good listener and a good friend, Kaylee, who points out that Zapruder was the Kennedy assassination, not the Hindenburg, and that's on me, and I need to be better. And I need to maybe I need to change my shorts. And you don't get to buzz it because you didn't know. So you don't get to buzz me when you don't know the answer either, Grandy, because no, both those things happen.
He's buzzing you for a reference that apparently is too old, and so that was his take on it.
But none of you knew, other than the very intelligent Kaylee.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, I'm not
hey,
calling
Kaylee,
you.
Kaylee, this is for you.
There you go.
Thank you.
This is for you.
That's not my job to call you out on that.
It's not his job either.
No, I'm trying to sweep it under the rug, like, so just nobody notice.
Whatever. And, you know, you should probably try to curry favor with Kaylee a little bit more, and I'll tell you why off the air, but he's one of the great listeners here on the station.
Wow. Wow. That got ramped up a little bit there.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's the reason why I've played Peninsula Golf Club a few times.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. Really nice good place. For me.
Yeah. Nice place.
Good little track. Thanks, right. Kaylee. I need to be better.
I'm still sitting here trying to figure out how I'm supposed to feel about this. How do you feel about this? Like, if this were Debo, non-story. That's my opinion. But it's not Debo.
Right.
It's Brandon. And I'm going to go right back to what I've said all 3 weeks since the 49ers started playing football. Dude, there's carryover. And you did this. And they did this. Whoever did this, because the Niners are part of this picture too. But whoever took all the fans on this journey, you have set up a situation where when anything doesn't go perfectly right, now the world is going to overreact. Or I don't even know, I don't want to call it an overreaction. We're going to have a reaction. You drop a ball in the end zone on Monday night on opening night, normally we would just be like, similar to how we did against Seattle 3 years ago when Brock Purdy ran around in circles for 10 minutes and then hit Brandon in the corner of the end zone and he dropped it and we went, oh, that's too bad. That would have been a great play. Not on Monday night against the Jets. Everybody starts screaming 30 million. Everyone starts screaming 30 million. And it's been that way every week. You drop this, you drop that. You're not getting your full complement of snaps. And now you're wearing the wrong shorts at practice. And so I think we arrive sort of at this question. Is Brandon Ayuk, in our minds, or each individual, in your mind, is Ayuk a problem? How would you answer that?
I mean, is he a problem?
Is he a problem?
No, not yet.
Not yet. Okay.
Not yet, but I look at this video, and if it was another player, or forget another player, if the reaction from Kyle Shanahan was a back slap and a high five and a big laugh, like, ah, yeah, you got me, because I had told you before, no red shorts, and you called me on it, and what a funny joke, and you're such a prankster, ha, ha, ha. George Kittle, for example, a guy who's got more built-up credibility within the organization. If he did something like that,
oh gosh,
the moment would have been lighthearted.
Totally.
This did not look lighthearted.
It didn't.
So this, for me, is not a problem yet, but it was a 60-second back-and-forth. Not even a back-and-forth. It was Kyle Shanahan giving an admonishment. I'm looking at it as if to say, dude, put on the black shorts and get out here and practice. So for me, it's not a problem yet,
yeah.
But it's a little bit of an eyebrow raiser.
I think there's some historical context here that we would like to add, and we'll do that next. We'll take your calls. Cam Inman in 20 minutes, he can shed some light. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Kyle Shanahan and Brandon Ayuk, an exchange today at practice. Brandon with the wrong shorts. Kyle made him change. Brandon kicks the shorts aside. No big deal? Non-story? Or is this just a budding, if not already, problem? We can take your calls on this, 888-957-9570 on Willard and Dibbs.